What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. This is your host, as always, Kyle French, Hip Hop Nth on Instagram, Nth, whatever you want to call me. Today is January 16th, and this is episode 23 of the show. To get past episodes, you can go to whus.org/talk, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts. You can also follow me on Instagram at HipHopNth, HipHopEnth. And it's good to be back in the studio. I was out for a couple weeks due to the holiday hours that they have here at the WHUS radio station on the UConn campus, because they were open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, and I work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. So I wasn't able to get over here and record any episodes. Fortunately, not too much happened in those couple weeks, so we'll be not really missing anything. Today on the show, we'll be doing album reviews for Sovereign Knows of Your Arrogant Face by Scallops Hotel and One Week Notice by the self-titled One Week Notice. Then I'll also go through my top 25 albums of 2017. We'll just go through that quickly, so let you guys know where I stand, what to check out, what to stay away from. And then, as always, we will have our Song of the Week. So we'll start off with Scallops Hotel and his album Sovereign Knows of Your Arrogant Face. And you may not recognize the name Scallops Hotel, but this is really simply an alter ego, an alias for the rapper Milo. We heard his project Who Told You to Think in 2017, one of the better projects of the year. And he's just kind of using, like I said, an alter ego, going under Scallops Hotel. One of his biggest influences is MF Doom, who was well known to switch up his moniker, whether he was MF Doom, Victor Vaughn, King Ghidorah, Mad Villain, all these different names that he would produce work under. And maybe Milo's just taking a page out of that book. He's not the first guy to do it. But just in case, you know, you don't recognize Scallops Hotel, it is Milo. And once again, he has the widest vocabulary in hip-hop, and it's not close. Lots of abstract, thought-provoking lines, challenging common thought. To some degree, it almost feels like he's psychologically analyzing society at times, and you really gotta pay attention to the words he's saying, because some of them you've never even seen in a dictionary. This guy's off the map as far as vocab goes. And it's kind of been billed as like poetry rap or art rap, and that's pretty much true. It does somewhat come across as more poetry than music at times. And that's actually something that Milo specifically tried to address on here. A lot of people have been kind of heralding him as the pioneer of this art rap subgenre. And he's trying to prove that that's kind of his lane. Like, he's good at that. But he's really just making music, and he's also capable of rapping in more of a traditional sense, in an MC sense, where it's really, you know, about the bars and less of this, like, extravagant poetic style. And he does that on a couple songs, both the intro and the outro. A Terror Way Beyond Falling is the intro, and I'm actually going to play that one later. That's my favorite song from this short album, only 23 minutes. So it's just kind of a topper from what he gave us last year. And then Sedans is the outro, and this is the biggest switch up in style I've really seen him do. It's unlike anything that was on Who Told You to Think, unlike anything really on this album, Sovereign Knows of Your Arrogant Face. And on there, he's kind of just proven, like, if I want to go at some weak rappers or go at my critics, I can. And I think he proves that if he wants to, if he really feels the need to go in on somebody, he could probably eat your favorite rapper alive. And that's what's pretty cool about Milo, is he kind of settles for this laid-back, poetic style, and he's excellent at it. But he can also kind of, you know, flex his technical skills at times as well. The production on here remains minimalistic, more jazzy, light drums, gentle pianos kind of guiding the way through the album. It's nothing heavy. There's no big boom. It's a lot of, you know, little kicks, no big booms. There's not much in the way of like synthetic synthesizers or any crazy computer-generated noises. It's fairly basic and simple, but it's also really nice. It's a great soundbed for him to do his art rap style over. The one contradiction to that style would be on that track that I just referenced as well, A Terror Way Beyond Falling, which has these powerful, like, dark Piano Keys, and I'm going to play that one. Like I mentioned, that's my favorite song on here. He comes in aggressive. It's kind of a different tone than you see on a lot of his tracks, and to me, it was my favorite one on here. It also felt like the most planned and structured out song. That's probably my biggest knock on this album, is kind of that the songs just kind of wilter away into nothingness at the end. They fade quickly. A lot of tracks are only 2 minutes, if that. And Milo just kind of comes in, he raps one verse, and then he just kind of lets it hang. He has these weird, like, whispering melodies. He's kind of talking under his breath. There's some random commentary as if he's talking to other people in the studio. And it's kind of cool, like, the freedom of it, but at the same time, it comes across strange. If he was really freestyling the whole track, it would make sense, but there's no way he's coming off the top with some of the, you know, the verses and especially the word choice he uses. It's clearly written, and then he tries to kind of ad-lib the end, and I don't know, it left me with kind of a weird feeling. One example is on Temple in the Green. He just kind of seems to stumble through this outro, freestyle humming and just saying, you know, Scallops Hotel, Scallops Hotel. And I don't know, it seems like he could have done better. He could have put in maybe a second verse on a song or had a defined ending to it instead of just letting it hang. The other somewhat unfair criticism I have of Milo is when he reuses words, it's so obvious he reuses them because you never hear those words on other songs. So for example, I've heard him between his 2017 album and this short album, Sovereign Knows of Your Arrogant Face, I've heard him use the word post-coitus 3 times. And that's not something you would usually pick up on. But since you never hear that word in your regular day life, I've never used that word just casually talking to people. I've never really heard it in music either that I can recall. So hearing him say it 3 times, it's like I realize he's kind of recycling some words. And it is kind of an unfair criticism because no one else, like I said, is even using words like that. So it's not really fair to knock him for that, but that is evident. I did pick up on that a few times. The one feature on this album is from Young Man. He brought a nice change of pace, a nice energy punch. Milo's usually laid back apart from a couple tracks here and there. And so Young Man coming in and taking it up a notch has kind of breathed some life in to the track he's on. And he also still maintains Milo's core themes and styles with this really abstract type of delivery and word choice and, you know, that poetry rap feel. And if you listen to his album from 2017 or this one, I'll play a couple tracks, you'll understand what I mean by, like, art rap. So in the end, it is a solid overall project. It's not mind-blowing. I do think it has pretty low replay value. I'm probably not going to be going back and saying, oh, wow, I need to listen to this track again or, you know, anything like that, but it is good quality. It's only 23 minutes, which is short. It kind of feels like just a topper, something he wanted to, you know, get some lines off. I think he definitely wanted to address the fact that he's not just a poetry rapper. He can spit in a traditional sense as well, and I think he definitely wanted to get that out. So, you know, he didn't rush this project to us, but it's not fully developed. It's not fully structured and fleshed out. The best tracks are A Tear Away Beyond Falling, A Method, and Sedans. The worst tracks, Ranks, Titles, Pressures, and Leisure. Overall rating, I'll give it a strong 6 to a 7. Like I said, it's good. It just has some obvious drawbacks, and it's not a big, profound piece of work. So I would recommend, if you like MF Doom, Open Mike Eagle, or Earl Sweatshirt, if you're into either of those guys' music, I think you'll enjoy this. And I'll play 2 tracks for you guys from Sovereign Knows Your Arrogant Face by Scallops Hotel. So we will play A Tear Away Beyond Falling and A Method.
Cue yawning zeitgeist. Whack motherfuckers flounder for limelight. Rubaiyat's magnificence. This bioluminescence, dispersed despair, there's a terror way beyond falling. Lackeys of finance, Pullman Porter of hi-hats, this phone booth reserved for Clark Kent, I'm out of here on a starship, nigga. Outer space, motherfucker. Truthfully, I'm out of here on the first thing steaming. Caught you by surprise like Batista eating vegan. No smoking, no spitting, read a sign from the management. Escapee of a prison planet where compliments were served underhanded. Nigga, it's a conspiracy to keep me ignorant, and I will exact retribution on all counts. Storm the bridge, I'm ripping banners from the wall mounts. So it go, I suppose that's how the ball bounce. Telemachus sneezed, paranoid about my Louis bodies, not Louis loafs. Such goofy oafs, what do we hopes? What do we hopes? What do we hopes? What do he hope? And I know property is theft. And I know property is theft. But it's still some things I'm wanting. It's still some things I'm wanting. It's still some things I'm wanting. So I might take them. So I might, yeah. So I might take them. So I might, yeah. So I might take them. Rain Man lawnmower, Tinker toy soldier. Shit, I need a soldering iron. I'ma reverse engineer my way out of here. I'ma reverse engineer my way out of here. Yeah, I'ma reverse engineer my way out of here. Shay Boogie rather close, and it's, yeah. I'm on that first thing steaming. I'm on that first thing steaming. So hold my train, man. Scallops Hotel. Mace Windu. That Neo Hoodoo. Real purple lightsaber shit. Drop it. I find myself in the same place, aimlessly wandering, systemic violence with amazing grace. On my second life like Lazarus or John the Baptist, I remember Granny read that passage with bated breath. I do a life most comfortably on the razor's edge. You will never hear anyone from my family is underfed. I brought a gun to the knife fight for Wonder Bread. I keep your hero in the cave like a cyclops, but the crowd prefer that mind rot. I just spit that eye drop. A noob with a jaw full of gems for your side bot. Sato Kaiba with a high top. Like the lovely scent of autumn, I'm speaking coyly to my honey dipping Gotham. Like I'm prepared to commit a wickedness so you might retain that shine. Keep it clean, but it's this hole in me. I keep it in, but there's this hole in me. I got this hole in me. I got this. Pigeon-toed with a stutter step, known to hide a rapper's skull in the same cupboard where the china set. Scarf of green jelly bean, parts the meaning in all things. I grew weary of the praise that art brings. Shit, part king of the darklings. Yeah, yeah. Manifest self under a cloak of self-importance while I juggle with my organs. Shit, yeah. We have one who makes a necessity out of virtue. Tighten the noose, said the stool kicker. Neither a healer nor a wizard. And that's the kicker, neither a healer nor a wizard. And that's the kicker, tighten the noose, said the stool kicker. Tighten the noose, said the stool kicker. We have one who makes a necessity out of virtue. Who among us is not among us? Who among us?
So that was A Terror Way Beyond Falling and A Method from Scallops Hotel album Sovereign Knows of Your Arrogant Face. And hey, 2018 just started, but I'll say that's the best project yet. It dropped on January 1st. We're like 2 weeks in. We'll see what we get, but that's I'll let that hold the number one spot for like a couple of days, you know. But the next album we're going to get to is 1 Week Notice by the group 1 Week Notice, which is a collective of rappers and producers. The seven artists you'll hear from this album are Dizzy Wright, Jaron Benton, Emilio Rojas, Demrick, Reezy, and the duo Audio Push, which features Octane and Price Tag. Not a lot of big names in here. They kind of marketed it as this like, amazing collab project. They're like seven amazing top-level lyricists get together to make an album. And that's, I mean, let's pump the brakes, guys. That's, none of them have that clout. None of them are on that level. This isn't Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Earl Sweatshirt, and like Joey Badass coming together to make an album. It's Dizzy Wright, Jaron Benton, Demrick, Reezy, Audio Push, Emilio Rojas. A lot of casual rap fans don't know all those names, maybe a couple. So I don't know. It was kind of a cool concept. They named it 1 week notice because they tried to make the album in around a week. They had just spur of the moment in December of 2017 decided, hey, let's get together and make an album. So it's kind of cool, you know, just to come together out of nowhere and put together some work. But, you know, the caveat to that is that it's not going to be the greatest of work. There's a reason that artists take a while to make projects, whether it's months, whether it's years. You know, a lot of guys debut albums, it's like their whole life going into an album, and that's what makes it great. And so in a 1 week, 2 week gap, I mean, they came together in mid-December, got the album to us on like January 4th. It kind of came out how you'd expect. It was predictable. It was average. The primary sound that came across on here was this modern day, like quote unquote, bangers. The production was just typical, like synthetic slap that modern day rap is littered with. And it's nothing like Metro level. It's not, you know, none of these are like bangers of the year or even really like I mentioned in past reviews where I call a lot of trap albums like single hunts. You listen to it, you grab a couple tracks and go because those ones are hot. It's not even really like that. It's like trying to be that, but none of the tracks really hit on that level. There's nothing like that exceeds expectations. It sounds like they made it in 1 week. So I don't know. It's kind of like they succeeded on their quest, but in the end of the day, does it really matter? Not really. And these guys aren't really like lyrical slouches, but their talents aren't ear demanding. You know, the metaphors, the punchlines they use on here, none of them were like, oh shit, he said that, like that was dope. It's not really like that. It's like, okay, like he's got the skill. You know, he can rap. He can definitely rap. He can make music. It's cool, but it's nothing that just grabs you or that hits you or you don't really feel much. And there's no concepts, no messages, no thought. And it just means nothing sticks. And I also think two of the bigger artists on here were a little out of character. For one, you have Jaron Benton, who his last album I listened to, he was rapping over like Wu-Tang instrumentals, and it was kind of fire. Like, I messed with it. But these style beats, it's completely different. You know, making these quote-unquote bangers isn't really his thing. He's like an off-the-leash, aggressive, more traditional artist. And so he's a little bit out of his element. And then the other biggest artist on here is Dizzy Wright. And he's usually more of like a relaxed rapper. You know, I'm not like a puffer of the Great Leaf, but his music is like weed smoking vibe music for the most part. Whether it's his Golden Age albums or, you know, he had Golden Age 2 come out last year. I don't know. I mean, so he's kind of out of his element as well. So it's kind of strange that they'd throw the two biggest names not in the lanes they're most comfortable in. It did seem like there were two tracks geared toward Dizzy, those being Count on That and What Means the World. And I got to think that Gutter was more geared towards Jaron Benton. And so he tried to appeal to them on those couple moments. But outside of that, I don't know. It just didn't really fit together well. The worst efforts, though, in the group were when they tried to dip their toe into like trap. They kind of dumbed down their lyrics, their content. And it's not that they're like super woke lyricists to begin with. But it's kind of obvious when guys who obviously pride themselves on their lyrics or their bars try to dip into dumbed down content, and it doesn't come across right. And I think if anything, it proves that there is talent to succeed in this trap world that we live in today, and just more of the modern sound that we have, this aesthetic powered sonic feel. And it's a lot about energy, flow, production. You can't just dumb down your content and hit. People think it's that easy. It's not. It's not just say stupid things and you'll get famous and get money. It doesn't work like that. There's more to it. I'm not saying it's the greatest quality of music, but these guys trying to drop themselves to that level don't even pull it off. And so the two songs they try that are on Icebox, and like the chorus for that is literally just Icebox on me, everything froze, flexing on these hoes, anything goes. Give me something more than that, guys. I mean, that's boring. Who wrote that and didn't crumple it up into a ball and throw it into a trash basket? I don't know. And then you have Gas Up, which the chorus basically just rips off Face Down and Gas Pedal, two songs that were popular years ago. It literally just takes both those phrases and puts them into one song, essentially. So those two, you can throw those away. The best banger, I guess you could call it, on here is Get It and Go. It does have a catchy hype type of hook. It does sound like something I've heard before, but I'll let him slide on that track. I mean, I do kind of like that one. And Die Legend, the intro track, is also, it's pretty good. It's not great, but it kind of balances out the whole album, and it ends up just middle of the road, average. Nothing I'm really going to listen to. Again, nothing that blew me away. I did think Emilio Rojas was probably the best performer on this album. I didn't know him going into the project, and I don't know, maybe they wanted him to be the centerpiece, or maybe he just thrives in this environment. But the production, like I said, kind of bland. The bars, kind of bland. Just everything middle of the road. Nothing I'm really, you know, psyched up about with this album. The best tracks are Die Legend, What Means the World, Get It and Go. Worst tracks, the two I mentioned, Icebox and Gas Up. Also wasn't really a fan of Setbacks, so I'll throw that one in there. Overall rating, it's like a, you know, low five. You know, right in the middle. Average. It's okay. Recommend if you like, really, if you like the Double or Nothing album by Big Sean or Metro Boomin, then maybe you'll love this. And if you don't like that, you're probably not going to like this. So however you feel about that album, it's probably going to be pretty similar. You know, it's a lot of guys who are kind of marketing themselves as lyricists, trying to make trap-infused bangers. I'll pass on it. I'll play Die Legend and Get It and Go. I think those are the two best tracks on here. So I'll play those for you guys back to back.
Kano on the track, bam. I got a couple more road, now I'm ready. This world will drive you crazy if you let it. They coming for you 24/7. Just know when I go, I die a legend.
Back against the wall, manifest it all. 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 I want more, quiero más. No espero, no hay paz. Coming up now, I never had a lie. Had to hand me down shoes, but I never had to box. No, no. Young Venezuelan, mommy native, pops immigrated. I don't listen to a fucking thing when they gon' voice opinions on my situation. Nah, I deaded some homies I couldn't trust. Like, mátalo, mátalo, mátalo. When money affecting your loyalty, I look at that shit like I gotta go. Adios, tell you to your face, I don't sneak this. Yeah, I put them groceries up in your fridge. Now you somebody that I wouldn't eat with.
I'm seeing faces in these smoky walls. My cousin died, I really couldn't cope at all. You would think it's luck, but I spoke it all. Pure manifestation, hard work plus patience. Hold on, a lot of niggas in my hood wanna change up and do better, but they lack information. A lot of rappers might be good enough to get a chain and get their bread up, but they lack innovation. Tap the lay short, first in the races. They call me Price, I'm allergic to faking. Yeah. She feel life when she turn on the album. She love the fact I remind her of Malcolm. They coming for me like the tax ain't paid, like drug raise, child support, they want a real one to fade. Back against the wall, hands all cuffed up. They wanted me to fall, now they done fucked up.
I got a couple more road, now I'm ready. This world will drive you crazy if you let it. They coming for you 24/7. Just know when I go, I die a legend.
Back against the wall, manifest it all. Back against the wall.
Hey, I pull up and get it and go. And all of my hitters will go. And all of my bitches will go. The minute I hit it, I go. I pull up and get it and go. I hit a lick and I go. All of my bitches will go. The minute I get it, I go. I pull up and get it and go. I pull up and get it and go. I pull up and get it and go.
Pull up, get it, go to money, moving slow. I had to cut them off, some niggas had to go. I went back and dope, a nigga had to grow. And fuck the status quo, I'm not your average Joe. Straight up, dripped out, stacked up, fuck hoes, bitch bounce. Hoes give me discount, Gucci down, pimp out, work hard, get clout.
16 got kicked out, flipping dimes and nicks now. I remember when they shot up Anthony and Nick house. Whole family tripped out, it's like Drake and Alicia Keys whenever Price pull his wrist out. Fireworks drip down, she fall through after work and I tell her to strip down. Call a lift now, can't let you hoes get too close. Please don't be calling me bro, I'm moving lit, you're getting dope. No, you not hitting my smoke.
I just get licked after shows. Don't got a helix no more. But won't let you take nothing from me. Don't let your ass miss some money.
I pull up and get it and go. And all of my hitters will go. And all of my bitches will go. The minute I hit it, I go. I pull up and get it and go. I hit a lick and I go. All of my bitches will go. The minute I get it, I go. I pull up and get it and go. I pull up and get it and go. I pull up and get it and go.
Matte black Range Rover tinted out, racks hitting in the house. Bad bitch, turn around, bend it down, baby, yeah, work it out. Young wild and reckless, diamond Henny, right on necklace. No lanes in my section, smoking out ain't a question. Yeah. Switchback hit this, I told lil mama stop flexing. Chit chat, fuck that, I told her bring her ass in my direction. I gotta get my point across, is you with it or you not? Worksmith, twist up, I pull up and get it and go, I gotta get it now. What it mean to be the boss? Be about your business, never let them play you out. Hit the city, hit the stage, shirt tucked in, black Bruce Lee style. And I'm blowing clouds, telling price like they don't know the tribulations and the trials. They don't know the situation, they don't know what we go through and ain't nobody else around.
I pull up and get it and go, and all of my hitters will go, and all of my bitches will go. The minute I hit it, I go, I pull up and get it and go. I hit a lick and I go. All of my bitches will go. The minute I get it, I go. I pull up and get it and go.
That was Dia Legend and Get It and Go from 1 Week Notice. It's an okay album. It's like a 5. We'll get some better stuff in the coming weeks. I'm sure of that. And now, before we keep moving on, though, we got to look back quick on the year of 2017 in hip-hop. I'm going to run through my top 25 of the year real quick. If you haven't heard any of these albums, I would highly recommend you go check them out. I'll give you like a 1-2 line description of each one as we go through. Overall, 2017 for hip-hop music, I'd say it was a decent year, solid. It wasn't like incredible. I don't think it was as good as years like 2015. Obviously, it was a huge year. And I don't know, it wasn't like we got the greatest projects of all time this year, but it was solid, especially for me. Like, personally, it was a big year musically just because I, you know, heard a lot of new artists, new albums, explored a lot of new stuff, started the podcast, started, you know, my Instagram page that I do, and it's an awesome hobby that I have, just mess around, listening to music, and I don't know, I've become woke to a lot more things, so it's been pretty cool in that sense, but overall, 2017 hip-hop, I'd say like a 7 out of 10. So that's not bad. But with no further ado, we'll get into the countdown. So number 25, I have Pax by Your Old Droog. A lot of people actually thought this was like Nas under an alias at first. So that gives you a sense of what it sounds like and, you know, his topics and such. Number 24, I have Wins and Losses by Meek Mill. Kind of a biased pick. I'm just a big Meek Mill guy. Huge fan of, you know, what he's done in the past. So kind of like a, not nostalgic, but I've just been a fan for a while. So I'm naturally just going to like his music more. 23, Brick Body Kid, Still Daydream by Open Mike Eagle. A lot of people think I'm underrating this album, putting it here. Maybe I am. Very well could be. It was pretty cool. It was conceptual. I talked about it on a previous episode of the podcast. Number 22, I have The Iceberg by Odyssey. Really nice, like soulful type album going on. A lot of society based stuff. Pretty cool. Number 21, I have Imperious Rex by Sean Price. This is a posthumous album. Sean Price is rest in peace. He passed away, I believe, in 2015 or 2016. It's kind of been a while, so to get a posthumous album this late was kind of strange, but you know, he's wild, just street grimy lyrics, bars, just, I don't know, hood values, I guess you could say. So it's a great album. 20, Radio Silence by Talib Kweli, one of the most slept-on rappers of all time, and one of the more slept-on albums of this year. 19, Humaniac. I just talked about that like a month ago on the podcast. Lou the Human, up-and-coming name. He was a cool guy that I first heard of this year. 18, All the Beauty in This Whole Life by Brother Ali. Different from a lot of albums you're going to hear this year. There's no expletives. He's religious. He's soulful. A lot of like deep message stuff. So pretty cool album there. Number 17, 444 by Jay-Z. I probably am underrating this album. Maybe it's just because of, you know, the pedestal I put Jay-Z on and some of his prior work. I don't think it's quite there. A lot of people think this is like one of the greatest albums of the year. and I could really, I can see that. I definitely can. Just for me, it's 17. 16, The Wild by Raekwon. Raekwon making a comeback. His last album wasn't the greatest, but he had a great 2017 with this album and the Wu-Tang Group album. Exactly what you'd expect from him. 15, Renaissance by the Underachievers. Duo from New York City, Beast Coast. A lot of hype value, a lot of replay value. Also good lyricism, just a combination of a lot of good elements coming together. I like that album a lot. 14, 508, 507, 2209 by Joyner Lucas. I was all about this album when I reviewed it on the debut episode of the Hip Hop Enthusiast podcast. I have backed off it since then, but I do still think it's a pretty great album, an amazing concept. Number 13, No Dope on Sundays by Sci-Hi the Prince. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He's the guy I've been waiting to break through, and he finally did. Number 12, Sire by Jaden Smith, one of the best produced albums of the year. Blew me away, especially based on the expectations I had for Jaden going into that album. And definitely one of my guilty pleasures. I listen to that album a lot, probably more than I should. Number 11, Who Told You to Think by Milo. He's the guy who, his alias Scallops Hotel, we just talked about like 30 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, whatever it was. And that was an amazing album, Who Told You to Think. More of that poetry rap style that I referenced earlier. Number 10, The Never Story by J.I.D. Recently signed with Dreamville, J. Cole, Cosign. Everything's coming together for him. One of the coolest flows in the game. A great lyricist. A lot of people say reminds him of Kendrick Lamar. If you haven't heard that album, definitely go check it out. Number 9, The Saga Continues by Wu-Tang. They are back. I thought, shamefully, because I love Wu-Tang, I thought they might be done as a group. Not done, but just the quality of their work was definitely declining. And I hadn't heard anything this good since like 2000, 2001, when they had the W and Iron Flag come out, as far as the group standpoint. As solo members, they'd still been doing their thing. But this was a huge comeback for them. Number 8, All-American Badass by Joey Badass. This album has brought him a lot more attention. I think he's one of the next guys to blow up and become a really popular name in hip-hop on level with how J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake are currently. I think he's the next in that slot. And this was really a political, societal-based album from him there. Number 7, Layla's Wisdom by Rhapsody. Easily one of my favorites of the year. She's like a female Kendrick Lamar. She dominated every track she was on. There's some great feature casting on that album and just a great overall feel to it. Number 6, Flower Boy by Tyler, the Creator. Maybe the best produced album of the year. His most mature work to date. I think he's really progressed as an artist to get to the point where he's at now. And that blew my expectations out of the water as well. I mean, I like Tyler, but now I love him based on this album. Number 5, Saturation 2 by Brockhampton. I could have went full stand mode and put them all top 3, so thank me for not doing that. But I have to put their worst album of the year at number 5 in 2017. Number 4, Forever is a Mighty Long Time by Big Crit. Double album. The concept on it was awesome. The subject matter on it was amazing. The Southern flavor, lyricism, everything. Love that album. Number 3, Damn by Kendrick Lamar. I think this album is somehow beginning to be underrated by a lot of people because they think it's too cliche to say Kendrick Lamar had one of the best rap albums of the year. He's the best rapper out. It's like LeBron James in the MVP race. People just don't want to give it to him because he's there every year. Kendrick's just on another level and just another conscious, amazing album from Kendrick Lamar. So number 2, I have Saturation 3 by Brockhampton. And number 1, I have Saturation by Brockhampton. They're the biggest thing in music this year. The best thing to happen to hip-hop without question in 2017. Both those albums, cover to cover, infinite replay value. Some of my favorite work, not only this year, but of the decade. And I think it was a pretty top-heavy 2017, I would say, led by Brockhampton and the work they put together. Amazing stuff, and they actually have an album forthcoming in 2017. So they are just not letting up. They keep hitting us with everything they have, and I cannot wait to see what's next. So that's my top 25. Just shotgun through that. I feel like I haven't taken a breath in like 10 minutes, but there you go. Got it off. So that's a wrap for 2017, and we can officially move on to 2018. And now we'll transition over to our Song of the Week segment, as we always have. And like we did last week, we did a, well, it wasn't last week, it was like 3 weeks ago now. My bad, but we did a throwback Song of the Week. Because I was saying everything I had played on the podcast for like 4 or 5 months had been music from 2017. And obviously I listened to more music than that, and there's more stuff to discuss and talk about. So we did a throwback Song of the Week. And I decided what we'll do now is I'll just go through the decade of the 90s, which a lot of people consider the best decade of hip-hop music. And each week for Song of the Week, I'll play one song. So we'll start with 1990, and then next week will be 91, 92, 93, so forth. You get the idea. And we'll just do a little Song of the Week throwback from each year of the 90s. And it should be pretty cool. Get a lot of legendary artists, some of the greatest songs of all time. So we're going to kick that off today with 1990. And our Song of the Week is Step in the Arena by Gangstar. For those who don't know, that is a duo consisting of the MC Guru and producer DJ Premier, who is one of the greatest producers of all time, hands down. And he actually made an appearance in our Song of the Week 2 months ago, probably now, when we had ASAP Ferg's Our Streets as our Song of the Week. And he did that with DJ Premier. So he's clearly been in the game a while to have, you know, a song from 1990 and 2017 played on the podcast. You know, I'm sure he takes a lot of pride in that, being on such an esteemed media platform as this. So we'll go ahead and play Step in the Arena by Gangstar.
Once you step in the arena, cheetah, you're gonna be amazed when you gaze at the armor on this leader, fully clad and glad to fight a cause I won't pause. Fear is a joke, slowpoke, I'm like claws that'll rip, cause your gift is merely flesh, superficial, and I wish you would give it a rest. But if you don't, I'll unsheath my Excalibur like a noble knight, so meet your challenger, a true hero, while you're a through zero, getting beat to a pulp so that you can't run for help. I heard a gulp in your throat, cause you hope that I'll be merciful, but poop at the maiden strut as I rehearse a few battle drills, and watch your bladder spill, yellow fluid. Check how I mellowly do it. Face to feet to this beat, you can tell I'm into it. As I'm pulling out my lance to kill you in advance to the winner's throne. Cause I own you once you step in the arena. In the arena, or rather Colosseum, these people gathering by multitudes to see one perpetrator fall to the dust after the other, quickly disposed of at the hand of a known brother, born with an art in his heart that is Spartacus, and one-to-one combat jack, just the thought of this matchup makes Gangstar want to snatch up one or two phrases from the new book with new pages of rhymes that are built like a chariot, dope vocals carry it to the battle, said if a beat was a princess, I would marry it, but now I must bow to the crowd as I stand proud, victorious, glorious. Understand now, cause battles and wars and much fights I have been through, one MC got beheaded, and you can too, forget it, cause you'd rather be just a spectator, a onlooker, afraid you make it slater, struck by a blow from a mighty gladiator. I bet you that later you might be sad that you played yourself, cause you stepped up, chest puffed out, and in just one lyric, you got snuffed out, cause rhyming is serious. I'm strong, I'm like Hercules, you'll get hurt with these lines, close the curtains please, the suckers can jet, cause I wreck once you step in the arena.
Fire track right there. That was Step in the Arena by Gangstar. It's going to be classics only for Song of the Week the next 10 episodes or so here, no doubt. And DJ Premier just, I mean, he produced the shit out of that beat. That was incredible, and I would say definitely ahead of its time. Guru, on the flip side, although, you know, he delivers for sure, you can tell, though, he's got that kind of 80s influence in him, which wasn't maybe the greatest era for hip-hop, but I definitely think he helped, you know, push things forward, move things forward, especially lyrically, and he kind of helped bridge that transition from the 80s to the 90s, which eventually became the golden age of hip-hop. And so he does sound a little bit old, a little bit aged when you listen to it, but it's still an iconic track and one of the best from its era. And you can't have anything but respect for what those two guys did with that Gangstar duo right there. So that's your Song of the Week, Step in the Arena. And stay with us next week to hear the Song of the Week from 1991. It's going to be another dope one. And speaking of next week, we'll probably be reviewing Apologies in Advance by Sylvan Lequeux and Punkin' by Maxo Cream. Those two albums both dropped on January 12th. Another album that dropped that day was Life of a Dark Rose by Lil Skies. He's kind of come out of nowhere and skyrocketed into relevancy. So those three albums came out past Friday. Just today, we got Paranoia 2 by Dave East. And looking forward, on Friday, we will get November by Sir. He's a rapper-singer hybrid that's recently signed to the TDE label about a year and a half ago or something like that. And then also, probably the biggest announcement is that Migos on Instagram yesterday, 2 days ago, something like that, announced that Culture 2, the follow-up to the Grammy-nominated Culture album from 2017, the sequel will be coming January 26th. So not this Friday coming, but the next Friday after that, we'll get Culture 2 by Migos. That should be pretty cool. They're the biggest thing in trap music pretty much right now. And they're even skyrocketing into like mainstream appeal. They're everywhere. They're not really my favorite group, I won't lie. I'm not like a huge Migos fan or anything like that. But I can't deny what they've done for the subgenre and the culture, obviously, as they title their albums. So wait for that January 26th. And that's pretty much all the new music announcements we have for now. I'm sure we'll be getting a lot more release dates coming up, you know, in the future weeks. And summer's where this stuff really takes off. So it might be a little slow to start off the year, but I'll always find something to talk about, some project to go over, and we'll always have content, so don't need to worry about that. So that's a wrap for the show. This has been the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. You can follow me on Instagram at HipHopEnth. This is your host, Kyle French, signing off. I'll see you guys next week. Episodes should be dropping every weekend. There'll probably be two coming out this weekend, hopefully, to kind of make up for the gap that we left. And then after that, back on a regular schedule. Episodes dropping either Saturday or Sunday. Should be every weekend, you know, as far as I can see. So that's the plan. Go listen to some dope music, and I'll see you guys next time on the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. Peace.